All right, hello, and welcome, everybody. This is the BOTC podcast. I'm Ahern Alley, here with Big Toe vlogger David Ubben from ESPN.com. David, good to have you here.
What's up? It's actually Ubben. I don't know if you've missed that.
Do you get that a lot?
Probably 80% of the time.
Nice. Well, yeah, we're going to talk a little bit K-State football. Probably start a little bit with the spring game and then move on to more important things. So, David, you did a nice job covering the Big 12, K-State. We appreciate it. Nice. I like the love you've been giving to Daniel Thomas lately.
He's pretty good. I got to say, though, I understand your hatred for the spring game, but, man, I college football, the peak of what it all means and what it all means to everyone and the whole – the whole thing. I don't think it gets any better than spring games. I think you're way off base on that.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
I kid.
Yeah. So, give us three big things that you take for K-State from the spring game. I mean, is there anything we can learn from this?
Well, Arthur Brown's pretty good, apparently.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't one of the, you know, a few thousand people who got to see his performance, right. But I'm excited. You know, I didn't see him much at Miami. Mm-hmm. But if Snyder's talking him up like he is, I mean, that says plenty. Mm-hmm. You know, I think definitely in the Big 12, you can't underestimate the importance of speed, especially at linebacker. I mean, you look at some of the guys that were around this league last year. You know, Andrew Gashkar at Missouri, you know, Von Miller, obviously. The guys that are big and fast, those guys can change your defense. And I think it looks like K-State's got one of them.
And you projected him as one of your 100 tackle guys for this season, right?
I did indeed. I think, you know, obviously, K-State needs playmakers on that defense. I mean, they've got one for sure in David Garrett. They need as many as possible. You need speed, and that's one thing. I mean, K-State was probably the slowest defense in the Big 12 last year.
Yeah.
If you can pick up a guy like Arthur Brown, that's a game changer.
Okay. So did you watch any highlights from the game or anything?
No, I didn't get to see any of it. I read as much as I could about it, but right. I didn't get to see any of it.
I'm sure you read more than me. So two other things. you got any else?
I think, you know, Bryce Brown, I mean, it was interesting that, I mean, we all know how closely guarded the health of his players is for Bill Snyder, but it was interesting that Bryce Brown talked about, you know, he's been battling an ankle deep. So for him, you know, I think obviously when you see him get to full strength, I think he'll be a guy that, I don't know that he's going to be a guy that, you know, can go like Daniel Thomas and be counted on for 250 carries next year and still be productive, but I think still, you know, a guy that's definitely going to be a game changer. And in the same breath, I think one thing you can take away from the quarterbacks is it's still going to be a long road. I mean, Colin Klein had a nice day, but you know, you look at what Carson Kaufman did in the spring game last year. You know, 7 touchdowns in the spring game and 14 for all of last season. So, you know, I think you have to obviously be pretty measured expectations for what K-State's going to get out of the quarterback position.
Right. Yeah, so, I mean, you talked about that. The Carson Kaufman last year, he was, what, threw 51 passes and about 400 yards in the spring game, and then I think it took, minus the Missouri State game, it probably took him 3 or 4 games to get there. Is there anything different with Colin Klein this year?
I mean, we'll have to see. I mean, I think, you know, people want to say that he you know, he's not a passer, but the fact of the matter is we don't know what kind of passer he is because he did only throw, you know, what, 18-some passes last year. It's kind of like James Franklin at Missouri. You know, people want to label him as, you know, just a runner. Yeah. The truth is we don't know what kind of quarterback he is because we haven't seen him be counted on to throw the ball and run the entire scope of the offense for, you know, longer than just a few short periods at some point during the year. So, you know, there's obviously some questions to make, and I think definitely, you know, the ceiling for Colin Klein isn't extremely high, but I think he could be a guy that, you know, wins some games for him and is a functional passer.
Sure. And one of those things, it seemed like, you know, even when they called pass plays for him, he was hesitant to throw it a little bit last year. I mean, do you think that's surely something that's got to improve, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, a lot of that is, you know, like you said, you know, a lot of that is comfort and being able to not only know what's going on and where everybody is, but be comfortable enough to trust your receivers, too. I think that's another big part of it. I mean, K-State obviously didn't have a great receiving core last year compared to the rest of the Big 12, but, you know, if he can start developing some of that and get some trust and understand that, you know, guys like a Broderick Smith or Tremaine Thompson or, you know, whoever this Sheldon Smith character is, if he ends up being a factor next year,
right.
If he can trust those guys, that's obviously going to be a huge thing for him and his confidence is developing in a passer.
Right, and I actually had a post up recently where I talked about, you know, we have no experience at wide receivers, and I was worried, and I got a lot of feedback from our readers saying, oh, I think there's a lot of talent there, and, you know, these guys are going to be good enough. I mean, what's your take on that? How much potential is there?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's all relative. I mean, sure, K-State has some guys who maybe have some potential, but you look around the Big 12, I mean, K-State doesn't have a receiver that's probably, you know, in the top 15 or so.
Right, right. And that was my argument was, I think K-State doesn't have anybody that would even get honorable mention status at this point.
No, I would totally agree. I mean, K-State and Iowa State and Kansas are just way, way behind the curve in terms of receivers. I mean, you just look at the types of talent that are all over the rest of the Big 12. You know, K-State just not up there, and that has to get better. You got to find a playmaker. I mean, they're not in a situation like Iowa State where their leading receiver last year is a tight end. And I do think guys like, you know, Broderick Smith and Tremaine Thompson are there, but, you know, it is a two-way street too.
Tremaine Thompson.
As much as K-State's receivers struggled last year, Carson Coughlin wouldn't help him out very much.
Right.
The only time I got to see K-State in person last year was Nebraska, and that was just a rough game for everyone involved. But, you know, you watch them play. You know, the only times they were really impressive in the passing game was that game against Colorado late, you know, trying to come back and win that one. That was some pretty good stuff from Kaufman.
So I guess you didn't watch the Missouri State game? Are you just not counting that one?
I didn't see Missouri State. I mean, the Bears, man. They're not back to the Bears, but we'll see. I think, it's one of those things where, you know, it's a lot of different factors. I mean,
right.
You got to have somebody to get the ball out there to them, too.
Sure. So I guess looking forward, I mean, it seems like you've mentioned K-State as your dark horse pick out there a couple of times. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you see to happen?
More than anything, it's guys that can make a huge impact. You know, people just don't know a whole lot about what Bryce Brown has to offer. People don't know that much about Colin Klein and what we've seen from them in the past. You know, you've got to you know, think that the potential is there for a big year. Obviously, it looks like right now Justin Tuggle not going to be a guy that can be counted on for huge things next year. But, you know, it's not like the Big 12 is necessarily wide open, but K-State definitely a bit of a wild card in that they do have all of these guys like an Arthur Brown and a Bryce Brown that could come in and be huge players in this league. You know, like Daniel Thomas was last year, and a defense that, you know, didn't have a whole lot of impact players a year ago.
Right.
So, you know, it's one of those things where do I think they're going to be a team that, you know, contends and is up there among the Big 12? I really don't. I don't think there's a huge chance that it happens. But among those teams, you know, in the bottom half of the league, I think K-State definitely has the most potential for, I guess, what we could call upward mobility.
Okay. We'll take it. We'll take it. So, just one last thought on the offense. Last year, I think they ran the ball more than 60% of the time. And would you expect to see that same thing happen this year?
It's going to depend on how good, you know, this stable of backs they've got. You know, I don't think anybody knows quite what to expect from a guy like Robert Rose. You know, we'll see if Bryce Brown is actually, you know, what he's advertised to be. If he can be that type of guy, I mean, it's going to kind of come down to what those guys can offer. When you got a guy like Daniel Thomas back there, I mean, you've got to give him the ball a lot.
Right.
And obviously losing William Powell hurt them last year. He was a nice little change of pace when Daniel Thomas needed to blow. But,
right.
I mean, it's going to depend on what they get out of the running back spot. You know, I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, and I feel like we don't really know anything about John Huber right now.
Yeah, that's the thing. All of those guys, you know, we haven't seen very much out of any of them. So we'll see. You know, there's just a lot of – that's why it's kind of the deal with Kansas State. I mean, you look at a team – and this is not – you know, this is probably not a great example. But you look at a team like Oklahoma State last year, picked fifth in the Big 12 South. I picked them as kind of a wild card. I thought they'd win about 7 or 8 games. I think that's pretty close to the best-case scenario for Kansas State. But I picked Oklahoma State to win about 7 or 8 games last year. And all of a sudden – you know, a guy with 20 career catches wins the Biletnikoff Award and Justin Blackmon. I mean, that says a lot. I mean, it's not like K-State has a guy like Dana Holgorsen coming in, but I don't think anybody expected anything like that out of them last year with, you know, four new offensive linemen, a 27-year-old quarterback who hadn't started a game in 9 years, and and no proven receivers, and a running back in Kendall Hunter that plenty of people were doubting after he had, like, 380-some yards in 2009. So, you know, there's a precedent for it. I mean, there's teams that can come out of nowhere and have huge years, and then we'll see if K-State's one of those this year.
Sure, that'd be great. All right, well, unfortunately, I think we got to talk about the defense a little bit. you had a post recently where you said K-State's number one in the conference in terms of bringing back its top returning tacklers. And, I mean, considering how bad this defense was, is that a good thing?
Yeah, there's definitely some question about whether or not that is good or bad. But the thing is, you know, experience can only help you in this league. I mean, I feel like I'm using a lot of Missouri examples today. But you look at Missouri's cornerbacks. I mean, Kyle Geddes and Kevin Rutland and those guys, I think we can all agree were quantifiably terrible their first 3 years in the league. They were getting beat constantly. They had an offense that was good enough to win just about anything. But the defense let them down huge and just kept them out of games. You look at, you know, Texas in 2009 and Oklahoma that same year.
Right.
You know, the defense was the biggest reason why those weren't even games. But then you come back last year and all of a sudden the secondary is, you know, a strength of this team and they're shutting down offenses all over the place. Experience goes a long way. Sometimes something clicks and guys just figure it out. I think Dave Steckel did a good job for Missouri. But at the same time, I think, you know, more than anything, experience had a lot to do with that. So guys that, you know, historically aren't great players kind of change things a little bit. And again, you've got an X factor in Arthur Brown where, you know, you put an impact player in the middle of a defense and that can change a lot of things. You know, all of a sudden, you know, the secondary's playing with more confidence. They've got some more good things up front. I mean, it all kind of fits together. It's one, you know, big picture, and experience can take you a long way in any league in college football.
All right. Well, there you go, showing your Missouri favoritism again.
That's me. My goodness.
Well, so you talked about Arthur Brown. Some of our commenters the other day were saying, oh, he's the best linebacker since Brandon Archer. I mean, does he have that kind of ability, you think, to be like a Josh Buell? You know, we've seen a lot of great linebackers here at K-State.
Yeah, I mean, you just kind of – there's no way of knowing right now. You just kind of have to throw them out there and then let them see. I mean, Bryce and Arthur just didn't really do anything at Miami and Tennessee.
But they were behind pretty good players, right?
Sure, but they're supposed to be great players. I mean, we've seen guys that are freshmen come in. I mean, you know, Tennessee, you know, they weren't a great team when Bryce was there. Miami hasn't had a great team in a while. You know, you can step up and be a player. I mean, it depends. You know, we just haven't seen a lot out of these guys. And, you know, now they've kind of been around the block a little bit. They're both, you know, shutting their mouths and trying to play and not be, you know, I guess for better or worse, they've kind of developed somewhat of a reputation for being a bit of a prima donna for mostly Bryce, but some Arthur as well. And that's been completely opposite of the case at K-State. And, you know, in some cases, you know, I think K-State, with the limited access that they give to athletes, that can probably be a good thing for both of those guys. So, you know, we'll see what they do have to offer next year.
Mm-hmm. All right. And we have one guy, you know, that we have seen a lot of, and I thought was really underrated last year, and that was David Garrett. I mean, how much of a leader is he going to be on that defense?
I mean, pretty solid. I think, you know, for him, you know, it is going to come down to being, you know, that guy that can be that leader for them. I mean, last year he's a guy that made a ton of plays for them, and I think he'll make them again. But, you know, again, he's got to be a guy that kind of holds everything together for him. I think Arthur Brown on the field can do some things, but you know, he's the guy that's been there, and he's the guy that they're gonna have to count on this year.
And why do you think it was that? I mean, Terrence Sweeney and Harris and the other corner both got, I think, second team or at least honorable mention All Big 12, and Dave Garrett wasn't recognized at all.
I don't know. I have my own questions about it. I mean, you look at, I mean, the All Big 12 honorable mention thing, I don't know how that sorts out. I mean, if you look at it, like literally every single starter that Texas A&M had, I think they had like two guys who didn't get it. Like, I'm not exactly sure how that designation is made and how, you know, along with that, how David Garrett's left out. I would have put him in last year.
Okay. So any K-State players that you would put on the first and second teams, All Big 12, going into the season?
Going into the season. Let's see. Probably not. I mean, second team maybe, but then okay. That's a pretty long discussion. First team, sure. First team probably not.
Yeah.
Second team maybe. Yeah, I think second team maybe, but that's I'd have to kind of break that down.
All right, fair enough. We'll just leave that. Maybe get back to it.
I can put Bill Snyder on my first team all weekend.
So, going into the first year of the Big 12-ish, I think I like that name the best from what I've seen.
I do like the Big 12-ish. Yes, yeah. It's one of my favorite derogatory nicknames.
Anyway, so that means one more conference game, one less non-conference game. How much tougher does that make it for K-State to make a bowl game?
Tougher. I think K-State and Iowa State are the two teams that are going to suffer most in this new Big 12. I mean, the good news for K-State is they've done obviously pretty well against Texas, mm-hmm. But Texas will be back eventually.
We have to go to Austin this year, right?
So, what'd you say?
We have to go to Austin this year. So.
Well, that seems like that hasn't mattered too
much. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I mean, Texas has had, a lot of success. But for K-State, I mean, it's just going to be tough for them. I mean, the combination of, the weak scheduling, the Prince era aside, the weak scheduling, and now you're adding all of a sudden another Big 12 game, and you have to play Texas and OU every year, whereas, people talk about the way that Kansas played last year, but they went 3-9 and didn't have to play Texas or OU. And obviously Texas was down last year, but now with that every year, the teams that have been, especially recently, kind of on the bubble for bowls, like an Iowa State and like a Kansas State the last 2 years, I think those are definitely the teams that are going to suffer most in the new configuration of this league.
But at least K-State's still ahead of Kansas, right?
This is true. By quite a ways, I still think. I think Kansas, I've said it all spring. For Kansas, the big thing is that they got to get competitive. Like, they were just out of every game last year. I mean, even the one that they won against Colorado, I mean, the comeback and all that stuff, that was impressive. Like, that was cool and all. But you're down 4 touchdowns to Colorado in the fourth quarter. Like, how in the world did that happen? Like, and then K-State. They let K-State score 55 points.
That was a lot of fun.
They let Colin Klein, he had like that 80-yard run at the end of that game. It's like, are you even trying at that point? Like, they just were not, obviously, Baylor is a team that can hang 55 on them because they're so, speed and they like to get in the open field. Uh-huh. But K-State is not a team built to score 55, 59 or whatever, how many points they had. Uh-huh. They're not a team built to do that. And if Kansas has given that up, that has to change if they're going to have
I believe it was 59-7.
So. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, that's a lot of points.
So that K-State schedule, I think, near the end, they have a stretch where they go, I believe it's at Oklahoma State, then Oklahoma at home, and then at Texas, and then A&M at home. I mean, does it get much tougher than that?
No, I mean, it's going to be, like I said, it's going to be a rough road for them. I mean, especially now, all of the power is in the Big 12 South. I'm right about this. We're doing our spring wraps a little bit later this week.
Okay.
The bottom three, I mean, you've got Missouri that's pretty good. But then you look at the rest of the league. I mean, I've got the bottom three teams in the league are all former Big 12 North teams.
Right.
And then six of the top seven are Big 12 South teams. I mean, the power was already in the South. But I think this year it's going to be even accentuated more with Nebraska gone and then Colorado gone as well.
Sure, that makes sense. Well, how about the one big game before conference play against Miami? I mean, what do you like there, K-State chances?
Well, I mean, you got Miami with a new coach, so that's always good. Ja'Cory Harris is good for about 6 or 7 picks a game, so that'll be solid for you guys. But, obviously on the road against Miami, I mean, I'm not picking K-State to win that game right now. Mm-hmm. But you never know. I mean, it's going to be an interesting look. I mean, Al Golden over there, I think long-term will have some success, but right away, I mean, we'll see. I mean, obviously, they're going to be fast. They're probably going to be a faster team than K-State. But we'll find out. I mean, I don't think they'll win that one, but I think it'll be close for sure.
Okay. And, well, Bill Snyder, never probably the friendliest guy to talk to and the easiest guy to get a hold of. So, I mean, is there any way we know who the quarterback's going to be before, like a week before the season starts?
I don't know. I thought Nebraska last year was hilarious with their song and dance before they threw out Taylor Martinez.
Yeah, yeah.
Before the game. For all of the whining and crying that went on from the media before that, I thought that was pretty hilarious. I don't think we'll see a similar deal I mean, I think at this point it's pretty obvious that, Colin Klein, it's his job to lose.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, last year, you know, with you know, Nebraska, that was a pretty open competition. I mean, everybody kind of heard all these whispers about Taylor Martinez and like K-State, they locked down practice, so nobody really knew, you know, exactly what to expect out of these guys. But, you know, I don't think we're going to see a triumphant moment like, you know, Taylor Martinez walking on the field. But I think right now, you know, Colin Klein, it'll be pretty obvious, I think, by the time the season starts that he's going to be the guy for this team.
And he does offer a better running threat than Carson Coffin, right? I mean, how much better is that going to be?
Colin Klein?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a lot of, you know, obviously he's not a burner, but it's, you know, a lot of it is finding holes, and he does have nice acceleration. I mean, his top end speed isn't fantastic, but obviously, you know, last year with what he did running the ball, definitely a bigger threat. And, you know, Lemire and Tuggle supposedly offer that too. We haven't seen much of them. But with Klein, I mean, you kind of know what you're getting. And if he can be a serviceable passer at worst, I mean, I don't see how he doesn't win the job.
Yeah. Okay. And so this is going to be our third year, I guess, of Bill Snyder 2.0. It's always tough to get inside the head of Bill Snyder, but, you know, if you're the coach, how much longer are you coaching in Manhattan?
Well, I talked to him a little bit about that last spring, and the thing he keeps talking about is wanting to calm the waters.
Right. We don't want another Ron Prince situation, right?
Yeah, that's about as vague as it gets. I mean, exactly. I mean, first of all, last I checked, Manhattan is pretty landlocked. So, secondly, you know, we'll have to see, you know, what that means. I mean, I don't think K-State's going to win a Big 12 championship in Bill Snyder's time. The talent's just not there. The Big 12 is deeper than it's been in a long time.
Yeah.
But what's, you know, what's calming the waters? Is that 2 8-win seasons in a row? Is that a 10-win season and you say goodbye? Is that, you know, we'll have to see. I mean, if I'm putting my money on, I think 3-4 more years, and then you know, he steps aside. But part of that too is I think before he goes, I think they have to have some sort of a solid kind of a list of attainable guys they can get to come get that job. I mean, I think.
Do you think he wants to bring in an assistant that then could step up?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not sure exactly what his exit plan is.
Okay.
I mean, people want to talk about Brett Venables coming back, but I mean, the dude has been sitting around for, you know, 10 years at Oklahoma. I mean, he's quickly approaching one of the best assistants in college football, and he can get pretty much not any job, but he certainly could get a better job than Kansas State for his first gig, and he's got a pretty good gig now. I mean, look at what Muschamp did getting Florida as his first head coaching job. So I don't necessarily buy Venables as the answer there, even though he does have plenty of ties back there. But whatever Snyder does leave, I think you have to have, you know, some two or three guys in mind that you think could be realistic. I think Snyder can't just leave because they were pretty good, and then say, all right, well, let's try to find somebody. You know, you've got to have some sort of a plan when he does say goodbye.
Right, right. That makes sense. All right, let's take a look a little bit around the Big 12. I mean, what other teams are going to be, you know, maybe surprise people this year, you think, or anywhere where K-State could steal a win?
Where K-State could sneak up on somebody, or where other teams could sneak up on? I mean, the thing about K-State is they're not necessarily a team. Like last year, you know, I liked their chances to win that Nebraska game in Manhattan. That worked out well, obviously. Because you knew what you were getting from them. You know, obviously their defense wasn't there. But if you can control the ball and you can run the ball, you know, you can have some success, especially against Big 12 teams. I mean, we saw what the Big 12 can do defending the run in bowl games last year. It was not pretty. So, you know, we'll see. I think, you know, Missouri certainly a team that they could knock off. You know, Texas, once again, another good team. Oklahoma State, you don't know what you're going to get with them. You know, Kansas State was kind of the
By the way, a quick note on that. I love the Brandon Wheaton twit pick with his dog in his jersey.
Dude, that dude is awesome. He is every bit of 27, but he is entertaining. When I was up in Stillwater this spring, I got lunch with him and Blackman.
Uh-huh.
Those two guys play off each other. They're entertaining guys. He's certainly one of a kind in this league.
Uh-huh.
But so you know, at K-State was kind of an exception last year with Blackman out for that game. But those are a couple teams that kind of stick out to me as teams that that K-State could probably jump up and beat.
Okay. I guess I feel like we're kind of bouncing around here, but when you talk to Bill Snyder, when you want to talk to Bill Snyder, what's the average wait time to get an interview?
The first time was 3 days. The second time was 2 days.
Okay.
Which is impressive, especially, yeah, you know. Yeah. I think the first time I talked to him was right before they started spring practice.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, what are you, like, he's not doing anything. Yeah, come on, yeah. Man.
No, I mean, the most ridiculous thing to me is when I was working at the paper in Manhattan, I just wanted a comment from him because in Topeka they were thinking about shutting down one of the programs he set up, and the guy was like, "Oh, it's gonna be 3 days before you can talk to him." I'm like, "Well, we gotta get out of this story now, you know." But
man is a man is a, he's got a busy schedule, I guess. I don't know. I guess he can't play golf anymore because he's got, you know, that knee thing.
Right, right.
I don't know how much that's opened up his schedule.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hopefully there were no injuries this spring. I don't know.
I think he survived the spring. Prizel Brown did not. He wasn't around, but
yeah.
I feel like if I have 600 pounds of man rolling, I wouldn't come up unscathed either. But right. That was my favorite thing of last spring. He gets hit by Prizel Brown and some other lineman. I don't remember who it was, but it's like 600 pounds of dude roll on his legs, tear up. You know, he tore his ACL, his PCL, and his MCL, and he just gets up and coaches the rest of the practice.
Yeah, hey, there you go.
Hey, what? I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound like a stereotypical, what is he now, 78, something like that?
Yeah, that sounds about right. So what K-State guys are the best to interview? I mean, we heard last year, you know, Carson Kaufman, I love the stories about him, you know, knowing everything about all the college stadiums and stuff. Is there anybody like that this year?
You know, I didn't get a ton of chances to interact with K-State last year because, you know, the one game I saw them in person.
Because you hate K-State and you're covering Texas all the K-State time.
With anything. But the one game that I was in Manhattan for was Nebraska, and obviously I wasn't talking to too many K-State guys after that.
Sure.
And the thing about K-State with their limited media access, I mean, when I made my visit, you know, it was a little bit difficult to get, you know, a ton of one-on-one time with them. But I do like Carson Kaufman. I mean, there's definitely, I mean, he's just guys that'll tell it to you straight. I mean, there's a difference between honesty and negativity, and I think a lot of players aren't good at drawing that line, but I always felt like Carson was. And Daniel Thomas was good to talk to, too. I mean, he was the guy that I talked to most last year. I got some time with him at Big 12 Media Days and some other times when I get a chance to talk to him. But and definitely those are two of the guys that were really enjoyable to talk to.
Okay. Did you follow any of the K-State guys on Twitter? I follow Justin Tuggle, and I like Meshach Williams, too. He's kind of fun.
And I'm following Tuggle, and I'm following, who else? I think Tremaine Thompson, a couple of the guys. I don't remember. Okay. I'm following a lot of guys in the Big 12.
Right, yeah.
But, yeah, they're K-State's got to step their Twitter game up. They don't have any entertaining guys. I mean, yeah. Vaughn Miller is one of the best. Cyrus Gray is getting up there. Landry Jones only tweets like intermittently. He's been pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever he does. Tony Jefferson's usually pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
K-State though, they need to get some more guys to, you know.
Right. I'm sure.
What do they have on there that's you know cool enough to get some interesting stuff going?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure no one's as prolific, but is anyone as good as Kim English? No.
Kimmy can get annoying sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
he's good, but but the thing about him is, you know, he's pretty good. I like when players do offer insight on the game. Like I was tweeting back and forth during the draft with Wes Kemp and TJ Moe, and they were talking about because the thing, like, I think there was a pretty decent debate, and it got a little bit swallowed up, but it kind of resurfaced in the draft of, you know, whether or not Jimmy Smith was better than Prince Amukamara at Nebraska. And I'd ask around if I was talking to receivers, you know, who's the toughest guy you cover? Literally every person that I talked to said Amukamara. They were just like, he'll beat you up. You get on the line and he'll just kill you. You know, you'd hate playing him because you'd leave and you'd have like, you know, bruises on your chest and you'd have like scratches on your arm. And so he's like, I hated playing him. But Wes Kemp was tweeting, and when Jimmy Smith got drafted, he was like, Jimmy Smith, like, best corner in the Big 12. And he was kind of talking about it, and you know, I kind of asked him one way or the other, and he was like, well, we didn't play a whole lot of press against Nebraska, so it was kind of tough to tell. But certainly two great cornerbacks. I think that's what Twitter is at its best, when guys, you know, aren't necessarily being, you know, obnoxious, but are, you know, offering their thoughts from, you know, their experiences of lining up against two guys. I mean, that's stuff you can't really get anywhere else.
Yeah. That's true. That's true. All right, and I guess that with the K-State defense, we didn't really touch much on the defensive line. I mean, that was obviously a big problem last year, and people were opening up holes. You know, you could drive pickup trucks too. So, mm-hmm. So what's that going to be like this year?
I think Nebraska actually did drive a couple trucks. Did they not? I'm not sure. I was busy writing about Taylor Martinez that game. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what to expect out of that. I mean, obviously losing Brown is a huge loss, but, you know, I thought Brandon Harrell was kind of disappointing last year. I mean, what did you think about the way he played last year?
Yeah, I think he certainly raised expectations pretty high the year before.
Yeah.
And then didn't really live up to that.
Yeah, I mean, and so obviously, you know, guys like him have to change that. I mean, I'm not expecting a lot out of that position for them. Again, you know, it could be a situation where, you know, that's one reason why. You look at Iowa State. I mean, they had Jake Knott and A.J. Klein. And those two guys both had 100-some tackles. And that's one of the reasons why I think Arthur Brown could rack up a ton. Because that defensive line, I mean, there's not going to be a ton of, you know, studs up there. They're just stuffing people. Brown's going to get a lot of running backs headed his way. So we'll see how talented he is at bringing them down.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, I'm hopeful that Mayshak Williams can be, you know, a force up there. But I guess he's one of those guys that we really don't know. So we haven't seen much from him.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of X factors from Kansas State.
He's one I follow on Twitter. His tweets are actually locked, so you gotta, I don't know if he'd accept you or not, but I like his bio. He says, "One of the nicest outgoing person you would ever meet." That's Mayshak Williams from Slytown, Georgia.
He's a Georgian. It's the South, man.
Yeah, he's got that Southern hospitality, so that's good. And he tweets a lot about, you know, working hard and doing that, so I don't know. Maybe I'm being too hopeful with him, but
we'll see. I always thought it was interesting. People like to say, well, I don't think this is possible for it to be like a phrase, but I guess people are talking about, you know, if you talk about working out or going to church, you're probably not getting much out of either.
Sure.
And I feel like that's all players talk about now. Like, literally, like, you know, players, like, the guys that are most reserved on Twitter, and the only time that they'll update is, like, got a good workout in this morning at 4:30 a.m. I got, you know, went to bed at, like, 6:30. I don't do the club thing. You know, it's like, really? It's like, what? Like, why don't you know that? I don't care about your 5:30 a.m. workout. I understand it's difficult, but come on, man. Whatever, I guess. I can say that I've never tweeted about working out. You can. Why that happened? Well.
Yeah, I don't think I have either. So. All right. Well, I don't know. I think we're kind of drawing towards the end here. Before we get to, I'm going to ask you to make some predictions. But before we get to that, I know we've talked about this a lot, so I won't. I'll just let you say your piece and be done with it. But what's your deal with Willie the Wildcat?
Here's the thing about Willie, all right? He sucks, man. Like, why does he need to be the most terrifying combination? Like, why can't he get, like, some cat legs and arms? Like, honestly, even just, like, a gray long-sleeve compression, like, gloves with, like, some paws or something. That would be better. But why does no one at K-State think this is scary? This is a person wearing football clothes for whatever reason. This is a person that has some sort of deformity that has given him a wildcat head. Does Willie the Wildcat, does he have, like, an origin story, like an X-Men or something? Does he have, like, a tale that goes back to explain why he has, you know, standard Caucasian legs and arms normal size, but his head is like 45 times the normal size, and he also is a wildcat? Is there a story behind that?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
And well, so do you have the same problem with him in basketball season when he's just
sure?
Okay.
It's not so much, you know, wearing football things, but it's mostly just the being a person but having the head of a wildcat. I mean, maybe there's a mythological story. Is he a, he's not any sort of a Greek god or anything, is he?
I don't think so.
Okay, well,
I did see it help him a lot once, though. I went to a Kansas City soccer game, and they had a mascot free kick challenge, and he won because, you know, he had legs.
So. I'll give him credit. He can do things. But, you know, like, you can get a human type of mascot, and he can still do things. I mean, why can't the Wildcat have like a trainer or something? I don't know. I'm just saying. You gotta pick one. Give him some regular legs, like a Wildcat would have. Wildcat that's walking on two legs, mind you, but a Wildcat nonetheless.
Okay. Well, at least Wildcats are real, and we don't have a Big Willie and Little Willie, Baby Willie. Yes.
That's true. If you could bring out a real Wildcat, now that would be.
Yeah, awesome. Back in the day, I believe they did have real Wildcats.
That needs to happen. The more live mascots, the better. Ralphie is gone now, so he will be mm-hmm. sorely missed. Mm-hmm. But he'll be reincarnated for when you can't watch him in the fall. He's going to be on the new NCAA game, so that'll be solid. Have you seen that?
I have not.
Oh yeah, they've got custom team entrances this year on the new NCAA game, and they're going to have like Ralphie going, and like Bebo is going to be hanging out, and I assume they'll have the Tech Masked Rider. He wasn't in the promo, but they're going to have the Florida State guy like throw the flaming spear at like, midfield. I mean, it should be pretty cool.
It's nice. So who is your favorite Big 12-ish mascot?
My favorite Big 12 mascot now? Well, it was Ralphie.
Yeah.
Ralphie was pretty awesome. Now, I mean, I like live animals, honestly. I like live animals. I mean, Bebo doesn't really do anything, but he's pretty cool. Reveille at Texas A&M, somewhat cool. Who else? Let's see. That's probably pretty much it. There's not a lot of great ones. I mean, Ralphie was up there with, I mean, just about anybody in sports. Mm-hmm. But now he's said his goodbye, so unfortunately he's gone. The Scooter's pretty cool, but I don't think that's a mascot.
But yeah.
As far as entrances go, the Masked Rider is tough to beat. I like the Masked Rider.
Okay, fair enough. All right, time to put you on the spot now. And what do you got prediction for? Let's go K-State's record and overall and conference record.
Spitballing. I'll say K-State goes 6-6, makes a bowl game, and is 4-4 in conference. No, what is that? 4-5 in conference? Yeah, 4-5 in conference. Loses to Miami, wins 4 games in the Big 12.
Okay.
That could change in the fall. Don't get me wrong. But that's where I'm going to go right now. I'm going to go 6-6, 4-5.
All right. And then who are your offensive and defensive MVPs?
For K-State, I'll go... Heck, why not? Let's go with Brown Brothers.
Both of them. All right. I like it.
I'll go with that.
Okay, well, I think that's about it. David Owen, again, thanks for joining us.
No problem.
Everybody be sure to check out his blog. Doing a great job. And is it cool if you ever come to Manhattan, people can come up and talk to you, right? As long as they call you Ubin, not Ubin?
Yes, exactly. The first time that happened, that was like really kind of jarring. It happens more than you'd think. Like, it's not, like, in Dallas, it's not really a problem, but if I go on campus like the night before a game or something, like I went to midnight yell practice at A&M a while back, mm-hmm. and it happened like 10 times. It was ridiculous. I'm not used to that still, but yeah, just leave your weapons in your pockets and be nice, and I'll be okay. Yeah. When I went last year, actually, for the Nebraska game, I was eating at some place in Aggieville. I don't remember where it was. It was some burger place. And a couple of people said a couple of things, but they were nice. So just be nice.
All right. That's good. Yeah, and, I think you do a good job of covering the Big 12 fairly. I think, sometimes people don't understand that fairly doesn't necessarily mean equally.
Yeah, exactly.
So, everybody, save your hate mails. He gets plenty of those already.
I do. Luke was on my listserv for my hilarious hate mails recently.
I think that got up to about 100 emails, didn't it?
I've gotten some good ones the last couple weeks. I need to respond to that. There are some classics. I need to actually hang on. I won't be able to get it now, but there were some. Oh man. That was some solid stuff.
Yeah. So you got any memorable K-State ones?
Oh, no. People always get mad when I rip on Willie, but the fact of the matter is Willie has got some issues that he needs to work out. so that's about it. But I mean, here's the thing. He is not a real – I mean, he's a human with a Wildcat head. That's not cool.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. But that's about it. No memorable K-State ones. Usually, nothing really sticks out.
Right.
There's none that really stick with you, but they're equally hilarious, as I'm sure you can attest.
Yeah, that is true. And they really come from everyone.
Yeah, they do. I mean, I've been accused of being a homer for every which team in the world. And as you can attest, at Missouri, I really could not care less about Missouri sports. And true. I was in Oklahoma for like 9 months. So I don't think that counts. But right. It is what it is, I guess.
How much are you still an Arkansas guy at heart?
I don't get to see him. So yeah. I don't really like care that much. Okay. Pelfrey kind of sucked all of the passion out of Arkansas basketball anyway. And you know, I just don't get to watch them that much anymore, especially now. I mean, I haven't been to a game since freshman year of college. So that was like 2000. I went to Casey Dick's first start. That was the last Arkansas game that I've been to, and that was my favorite headline of all time when Casey Dick replaced Robert Johnson against the Carolina Gamecocks. Greatest headline in sports history. But that was a good one. But yeah, I just don't get to see him that much. I mean, obviously I get to see him when they play. I was there at their game last year when A&M and Arkansas played in Dallas, but I mean, I've been away from Arkansas now for 7 or 8 years. So it's kind of left behind, I guess. And I don't see him too much. So it's not too much of a big deal.
All right. So before we go, any advice for how do we survive the next 3 months?
I don't know. I have no idea. I'm trying to figure out the same thing myself.
All right.
I'll probably go to Six Flags or something.
Yeah, that's a long ways from Manhattan.
You know? Well, you guys can, Dallas, it's a flight away. I made that flight from Dallas to KC.
And they got the American Airlines going there now from the Manhattan
Regional Airport. Dude, the coaches were way excited about that. Like, I was, like, that was one of the first things. Who was I talking to? Somebody was like, so psyched about that.
You gotta help recruiting much?
Yeah, like huge. Because they were like recruiting, well, like not necessarily like help recruiting, but help not kill coaches in recruiting. Because like they would, because they were talking about, the drive is just brutal. I mean, they're not making it a lot of the time. Like, oh, somebody drive them over there, but still, like just cuts down travel time big time.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, David Ubben, thanks again for joining us. I guess we'll let you go and get back to, I know you got to put up some blog posts today.
Oh yes.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, thanks. See you.